Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And as we near the end of our fiscal year, I'd like to invite all of you who haven't done so already to consider standing with us prayerfully and financially. You can give in a safe, secure fashion on the web at equip.org. And do remember that we have all kinds of resources available to equip you to always be ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within you, with gentleness and with respect. If you're not subscribing to the Christian Research Journal, you may want to consider remedying that condition as well. Again, you can subscribe to the journal on the web at equip.org, or you can write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We are now approaching Matthew chapter 9. We are in the midst of a study of God's Word. And I want to remind you not to take that for granted. For you and I have been called to memorize the Word of God, to meditate upon the Word of God, and then to mine the Word of God for all its substantial wealth. And this is precisely what we are doing. On the last broadcast, I was talking about Matthew chapter 8, where Jesus is in the region of the Gadarenes. Two men are possessed with demons. Jesus heals them. This miracle is so outstanding that the whole town hears about it. But how do they respond? Do they respond by saying, "Jesus, stay with us," or do they ask Jesus to leave? Well, the answer is given by St. Matthew. The whole town asked Jesus to leave. Why? Because they saw his power, his providence, his provision as loss, the loss of livelihood, the result of Christ healing the demoniacs meant that they lost revenue. They lost their pigs. They lost their swine. They lost what they considered most important. And I suppose it's easy to condemn them. But this text is meant for introspection. How do we react when Jesus makes himself manifest to us? And in Matthew chapter 9, we see Jesus doing this very thing, making himself ever more manifest. He steps into a boat. He crosses over and he comes to his own town. And there some men bring to him a paralytic who is lying on a mat. When Jesus sees their faith, and remember, faith is not just knowledge. It's not even agreement that the knowledge you have is correct. It means that you place your trust in Jesus. And Jesus sees their faith, sees their trust in him. And when he does, he says to the paralytic, "Take heart. Take heart, son, because your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he said to the paralytic, "Get up, take your mat, and go home." And the man, the paralytic, got up and went home. And when the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe. They praised God. They praised God who had given such authority to men. This is an incredible passage of Scripture. Here, as with the other miracles of our Lord, we are confronted with indisputable evidence that Jesus is Lord of all, that Jesus Christ is divine, that this is God walking upon earth. The teachers of the law knew this. We know this as well. While the forgiveness of sins may not be visible to us, it may not be something that we can see with the naked eye, the healing of paralysis is evident. It is evident, and it is evidence that Jesus has both the power to forgive and he has the power to heal. The first achievement is thus verified by way of the second. The healing of the body demonstrating Christ's power to cleanse the soul as well. Only the wicked, those who refuse to believe, those entertaining evil in their hearts, can with premeditation and forethought deny that God in human flesh now stands before them. The teachers of the law, they do what ought to be unthinkable. They accuse Jesus of blasphemy. The crowds that were witness to the miracle had an entirely other reaction. Their reaction was reverence. It was awe. It was fear. They stood in the face of the majesty of Messiah. And as such, they were brought to the reality that the one who stood in their midst knew the very condition of their hearts. Imagine that. Imagine you standing in that particular location, seeing that Jesus could not only heal but discern the very thoughts of the heart. How would you react? Just as Jesus was well aware of the evil thoughts in the hearts of the teachers, so too, he was well aware of what was going on in the hearts of the people that were crowding around him. In sum, we perceive three miracles in the healing of the paralytic, and the three collectively demonstrate conclusively that Jesus is, that he is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. Jesus knows the secrets of the heart. He forgives sins. And he heals by the authority of his word. When we come back from the break, we'll find that Jesus passes on from Capernaum. And then he calls the very man whose gospel we are now studying. We come face to face with a man who was willing to leave all to follow Jesus. And we ask the question collectively, are we? Again, thanks for tuning in to this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions are answered, particularly as we go through Matthew's gospel, answering questions that have been asked and maybe some that haven't been asked as well. We'll be right back with more, so please don't touch that dial.
Bertrand Russell famously said, "Most people would rather die than think, and many of them do." Not so with CRI support team members. Support team members are not only serious thinkers, but their membership in CRI's support team helps to equip hundreds of thousands of fellow believers around the globe each and every month. Are you not a member? Then you're missing out. Not only do support team members form the backbone of Christian Research Institute's outreaches, but they enjoy their selection of resources from our Equipping Essentials library and receive a complimentary subscription to CRI's award-winning Christian Research Journal. Just two of the benefits of membership. To discover how you can make a difference 24/7 in equipping believers at home and abroad to stand for life and truth, check out the benefits of membership at equip.org. Hank will be back after this.
Truth Matters, Life Matters More by Hank Hanegraaff is essentially two books in one. Because Truth Matters, Part 1 equips Christians to defend the essential truths of the historic Christian faith. In Part 2, Hank explains why life matters more and how we can experience the height of human existence, union with God in Christ. Simply put, the map is not the territory, the menu is not the meal. We cheat ourselves of authentic union with Christ when we elevate the message above the Messiah. Truth Matters, Life Matters More is a modern classic and the magnum opus of one of the great theological minds of our time. To receive Truth Matters, Life Matters More, simply call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift in support of the life-changing work of the Christian Research Institute. That's 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org.
With over 500,000 copies in print, Hank Hanegraaff's Bible Answer books were born out of his many years of hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. He's taken his on-air answers to questions and chiseled them until only the gems emerge. Questions involving biblical interpretation, cults, science, ethics, apparent contradictions, and much more. This remarkable collection of concise answers is now even better. My goal, says Hank, is to take the complex and make it simple and memorable. Receive your copy of the complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, as our thank you for your gift by calling 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support CRI's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org. That's equip.org. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you much, Randy, and we'll return to Matthew's Gospel. We just saw Jesus doing the impossible, at least the impossible from a human standpoint. He heals a paralytic. No one can do that. But Jesus is God, and God can do all things. Now Jesus passes on from Capernaum, and he sees a man named Matthew. Matthew is sitting at the tax collector's booth, and he says to Matthew, "Follow me." And Matthew amazingly gets up and follows Jesus. And while Jesus is having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners come and eat with him and with his disciples. And when the Pharisees see this, they ask his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with these vile tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus says, "It is not the healthy that need a doctor, but the sick." But go and learn what this means. What this means when I say, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but I have come to call the sinners." Here we get to the calling of the very man whose gospel we are in process of studying, the calling of Matthew. And I'm always struck by the brevity of Matthew's conversion. Conversion from a greedy tax collector to one who immediately makes a transition. He gets up and follows Jesus. He makes restitution. His life is immediately transformed. He makes an instant decision, a decision based on facts. He knows what everybody else knows. This is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This is the Anthropos, the God-man. And thus, seeing that, he decides to follow Jesus, an act of the will. To leave the pleasures of this world and follow Jesus Christ. What a contrast with the Pharisees. They too see that Christ is a miracle worker. They know that only he could walk through the doorway of Old Testament prophecies. And yet they despise him in their hearts. Matthew, on the other hand, sees the miracle worker, sees the Lord Jesus Christ, and is willing, as it were, to give up all and to follow this Jesus. There's no hesitation. There's no compromise. Matthew enters into a life of perpetual repentance. His former fortune now seems trite in the light of Messiah. What that means, and think about this for a moment, ponder it. What that means is that Matthew leaves earthly vanities for eternal verities. He leaves those things that are vainglory, and he embraces those things that have eternal measure. And as a result, Matthew becomes a witness to the life, to the death, to the resurrection, and to the ascension of Jesus Christ. He becomes a witness to the birth of the early church, a birth that is chronicled in Acts chapter 2. And he himself perpetuates the growth of this early church by becoming a missionary to faraway lands. His life takes on a completely different hue. His gospel itself becomes proof positive that Jesus is the Christ foretold by the prophets, he and not another. In time, as tradition has it, Matthew now follows Jesus Christ to the ends of the earth. The Master has ascended into heaven. Matthew travels to places like Syria and Media and Persia, and even beyond that. In fact, as holy tradition tells us, he establishes a church in faraway Ethiopia. And in the end, he pays the ultimate price. In the end, he dies a martyr's death. But as we know, just like Jesus, we never die. For absent from the body, we are present with the Lord. And even beyond that, we know the reality that Scripture gives us, the reality that one day Christ will return. And when Christ comes a second time, the soul and the body are reunited, and we will forever live in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is why Matthew immediately gives up vanity for that which is verity, for that which is certain, as certain for you as it was for him. Maybe I should say, as it is for him. Well, meanwhile, in St. Matthew's gospel narrative, we are told that shortly after Jesus says, "Follow me," and shortly after Matthew does that very thing, Jesus has dinner at his house, a house that is filled with what the Pharisees consider to be the vilest of all men, sinners of the worst sort. And upon seeing this, the self-righteous Pharisees ask, what in the world Jesus was doing consorting with traitors and with thieves? Jesus' response is telling. For as he's made plain, he has not come for the righteous, but he has come for the unrighteous. Once again, we see the brilliance of Christ's response. Hopefully it's not lost on you. Doctors exist for sick people. Obviously, they don't exist for healthy people. If you're healthy, you don't go see the doctor. And with this word, Jesus exposes the Pharisees as being the sickest of all. So spiritually sick that they are blind to their own sad condition. Blind, moreover, to the reality that Jesus has come to save the lost. This was his mission. This was his mission then, and this continues to be his mission now. Jesus, in fact, regales the Pharisees with the words that they had implanted, as it were, on their foreheads, their phylacteries, the words of Hosea chapter 6. "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice." The Pharisees, they offered sacrifices in ritualistic fashion. They were blind to the reality that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken spirit and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. Those are the very words proffered by King David. He knew that sacrifices made in sin are not efficacious. But a broken spirit, a contrite heart, God does not despise. My hope, my prayer is that Matthew's example will become the leading of your life. That we too, you and I, might immediately get up, leave all, follow Jesus Christ, and make a difference for time and for eternity. Thanks again for tuning into this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. And again, as we near the end of our fiscal year, my prayer is that you will stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Our daily commitment here at CRI is to defend the faith once for all delivered to the saints and equip believers to become true disciples of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to order resources or listen to the broadcast online, visit our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. Of course, you can write to CRI at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
Hank Hanegraaff has dedicated his life to defending truth because truth matters. However, his life and ministry were radically transformed by another three-word phrase, life matters more. Truth matters because Christianity is rooted in history and evidence. Life matters more because it is the experience of union with God. The goal of Christian life is union with God. All attempts to understand Christianity from a solely rational perspective put us in danger of devolving into a transactional rather than transformational relationship with God. Truth Matters, Life Matters More will equip you to move beyond intellectually knowing about God to experientially knowing Him in Christ. To receive your copy of Truth Matters, Life Matters More, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us online at equip.org.